And if you would please turn over to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. I know that God's still working on me too. But He's working on you. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to consider a very familiar story today, but it's always good to be reminded of these things once in a while. So we're going to look at this wonderful text. But years ago, the newspaper carried an article in the sports section about the biggest football in high school ranks at that time, and the boy weighed 530 pounds. That's just a big kid. And he was 6'8", and that's just a large boy. Well, we know that the pro football players, they're huge people, aren't they? I mean, they weigh 300-400 pounds, big, big guys. Pro basketball players, they run 7 foot, they're way up there, huge people. For most of us, we view guys like this as giants. And yet we are also aware that it is possible for a person to be big, although small or normal in stature. We use phrases such as, well, that was big of you. He is larger than life, or she stands taller than the rest. He is a man among men, or she is a little giant. So you get the idea. And surely each of us realize that physical size, agility, and athletic ability is not all there is to life. Yes, the biggest, the fastest, the strongest, the best, they're paraded before us constantly. But not all the time do those things bring success. Nor does it mean that people who aren't that athletic, that they'll never be successful. Just not true. The fact is, and I want you to understand this, my friend, today, that God often uses a normal person, or the smaller, even the weaker, at least outwardly. You know what? That's the kind of people who often use. Does size and weight alone determine a person's character or usability? Perhaps in sports, those things come in handy. But when it comes to serving God, any child of God may loom large. What is it that makes you big in the eyes of God? I'd like to look at this story of David and Goliath today. And the title of my message is, A Giant of a Person. A Giant of a Person. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, we know that some could not be with us today due to sickness. Lord, we ask that you would touch their bodies and heal them. Lord, you know every need of every heart. But we do thank you for these who are here. And we ask that you would just speak to our hearts from your word today, that, Lord, we might be encouraged that as your people, that we may not have what the life and the society thinks we need to have, but, Lord, anything we have can be used of you. We can be a giant in your eyes. So, God, help us not to measure ourselves by the world's standards, but measure ourselves by your standards. And we pray for your grace and mercy that we might live well for you. And we do ask if there's any here today who is not saved, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, and, Lord, grant unto them repentance and faith that they would be saved even this day. Lord, thank you for your goodness toward us. Thank you for your mercy. And so we ask your great blessings upon us today as you meet together with us, that we might honor you, worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, just touch our hearts as only you can. So we commit these things to you, and we love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look into this passage and consider a giant of a person. Well, you know this story talks about a big guy and a little guy, as it were. We often say, well, Goliath was a giant, but there's a greater giant here, and we're going to look at him. A giant of a person. Well, let's think about Goliath, first of all. You know the name, and you know how big this guy was, or at least you have an idea of that. Let's read verse 1 down through verse 11. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to come, or be able to fight with me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants, and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And really, who could blame them? I mean, you think of this fellow, Goliath. He really was a big guy. The scripture says that he was 6 cubits and a span. Generally, a cubit is thought of as to be about 18 inches. Some say there was a larger cubit, which was 2 feet. More likely, this was an 18-inch cubit and a span. And that, what this does is this really makes Goliath just about 9 feet 9. And boy, he made a great basketball player, wouldn't he? And just a huge fella. And I guarantee you, he wasn't pencil thin. This guy was thick, just as he was tall. Because the coat of his mail, that armor of which he wore about his body, weighed 5,000 shekels of brass. And it really depends who you check on what they think the shekel was and the weight of it and all that. But somewhere between 150 to 180 pounds. That's the coat of armor that he wore. Not only that, he had greaves, leg greaves, what they are, shin guards. Anybody knows about soccer, they have shin guards. And those were made of brass. We don't know how big those were. He had a target about his neck, says between his shoulders. And what that was a armor protection around his neck, around his throat, like a collar. And all that was made of brass. And the guy's carrying around about 200 pounds of brass just on his person, let alone his immense size. He had his spear shaft was like a weaver's beam, and they say that that weaver's beam ranged from 2 to 2.5 inches. And so you can just imagine a spear that large around, and the head of the weight, the head weight, or the weight of the head on the spear was made of iron, and it was about 20 pounds. If you want to know how that is, just go to the hardware store and pick you up. Help me, Brother Steve. Huh? Can't remember the name of them things. You know I don't use them. Sledgehammer is what I'm thinking. Sledgehammer. And take one of those and hold it out. I remember when we were kids, my dad had a sledgehammer. We tried to hold it out and see how long he could hold it. Well, we couldn't hold it very long. What you want to understand about Goliath, this is just one massive fellow. Tall, thick, strong, muscular. I mean, this guy was just a huge fella, carrying about 200 pounds of armor upon him, and then his spear alone, the weight of the spearhead was 20 pounds in that general vicinity. But look back in the text as we read about this guy, and he comes against him. There's just a few things I want to note about Goliath, because I want you to see that this guy really was a giant. I mean, just a big fella. Well, verse 4 tells us that he was the champion of the army. Well, who can doubt that? It says, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. He was their champion. He was the top dog. He was the big cheese. He was the guy. No one could beat him, and people tried. Enemies have tried. This guy was undefeated. He was the superior Mike Tyson of the day, or Muhammad Ali. I mean, this guy was huge. He was strong. Nobody could take him. Just a great big fella. He was their champion. But you'll notice back down in verse 8 and verse 9, the last part of verse 8, one thing about this guy, he wasn't humble. He was proud of who he was, and he knew his size, he knew his ability, and he knew he was undefeated. And I don't think he floated like a butterfly, but I'm sure his sting was pretty tough. Down at the end of verse 8, it says, his statement is, Am not I a Philistine, and ye the servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. He was so arrogant about his size, he was just willing to take the whole battle laid on this guy right here. And the deal was, you come, send anybody you want, doesn't matter who they are, send them out here, and we'll just fight mano a mano. And if I win, you guys submit. If your guy wins and kills me, then our army will submit. Well, we know he lied. But, hey, what was the deal? He was so self-confident. I'm big, I'm tough, I've never been defeated. And there isn't anybody out there that can beat me. And what a bad attitude that is. And so he comes out there, and then you'll notice in verse 10 that he defied Israel and the God of Israel. It says, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now, from a human perspective, you have to look at that and go, boy, I'm not taking up that one. You know, I'm not going to go out there, and I'm not going to go fight against him. But nobody stands a chance. And so here's a guy out there blaspheming the God of Israel, blaspheming the armies of Israel, just making fun, mocking them, saying, come on, just anybody, it doesn't matter. And, of course, Saul and the army, they're afraid. Verse 11 said that they were greatly dismayed and greatly afraid of that. And who could blame them? What a huge guy. I mean, I can't even imagine a 9'9" guy that big and that strong and just a very vicious, ruthless individual. And you have to go against him. What a giant of a person. I mean, really, I mean, that guy's a big guy, right? But is that the giant we're really concerned about? No. Let's think about David for just a moment. In verse 32 to verse 51, we'll not look at all these verses right now. I just want to point out a few things. We're not going to look at all the verses through the story anyway. But I just want to point out something about, in contrast, who David was. Pick it up in verse 33. And we find that David here, he's a young man, probably in his late teens. Don't know exactly his age. But in verse 33, we have a description of him. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. And he, a man of war from his youth. This guy, that's all he's done all of his life. Never been defeated. And David, you're just a youth. You're too young. You just don't have what it takes. Skip down to verse 42. You know the story. David does approach Goliath. But it says in verse 42, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He made fun of him, belittled him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. I mean, this guy didn't look anything like a warrior. And so you see Goliath, this great, big, huge, massive guy, dressed in all of his armor. I mean, every part of him's covered just about. His head and his shoulders, his neck, his arms, his legs, his thighs. I mean, this guy has armor beyond armor. Plus, he's just a huge guy. And here comes little old David. Now, I don't think David was a midget or anything like that. I think David was just a normal guy, normal size. And most of those cultures, most people are very average, and they're not real tall. In our culture, you know, 6 foot, 6'1 is almost normal anymore. Used to be 6'1 was tall. Now 6'1 is kind of not so tall. Well, that culture, you know, 5'5, 5'6, that's just normal height. That's just what happens. Well, David probably not much different than that. He was a normal fella. In verse 38 and verse 39, you can read there and glance at the verses that after he goes to King Saul and says he wants to fight against him, that Saul starts to put on his armor on David, puts on his helmet, and puts on his coat of mail, tries to give him the sword. Now, I grant you that Saul was a tall man, The Scripture says that King Saul was head and shoulders above the rest. Saul was probably, and I'm guessing here, probably around 6'5", 6'6". That's a guess. But he was taller than the average Israelite. And yet David, who would have been about average, comes to Saul and he's putting all this armor on him. And it's kind of sloppy, you know. I mean, because Saul's a bigger fellow and David's putting this on. He hadn't worn armor and he didn't know anything about this. A little bit big for him. And David's just a typical guy. Late teens, not a lot of experience. As a matter of fact, you note this about David in verse 13 through verse 15. How much warfare did he really have? How much experience did he have? As the battle progressed, if you look in verse 13 through verse 15, it says, the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him was Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. So the three were soldiers. David wasn't a soldier. And David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. What was David? David was a shepherd. He was a keeper of the sheep. Look down at verse 28. As he follows the instruction of his dad, and he's bringing supplies down to his brothers at the battlefront. His brother, older brother Eliab, he begins to criticize and make fun of David because he's at the war zone and at the front. And you'll pick it up in the middle part of verse 28 where he says, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" You see what's going on. Even his older brother says, "What are you doing here? You have no business being here." So David was inexperienced in warfare. Skip down to verse 33. And we've already noted this, but look at it again. When David comes to Saul, and Saul looks and says to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth." And he a man of war from his youth. Just a kid. You can't do it. You know, really, there's not a lot of comparison between them, is there? What a glaring mismatch. You have the aged, supersized, super strong, armored Philistine Goliath to a young, ruddy, inexperienced David. Certainly in comparison to Goliath. But who really is the giant here? Now, of course, from a human perspective, we say Goliath was a giant. Yes, he was. But the title of my message is A Giant of a Person. You know the story, don't you? Let's think about the real giant of this story. And I want you to know today, if you say, "Well, I don't have this, I don't have that, I can't do this, I'm like Moses, I can't speak well, and there's nothing I can really give to God," I want you to know you can be a giant of a person. Now let's think of the story of the text, and then I want to give you some indicators of being a giant in the eyes of God. And I want you to know you can be a giant in the eyes of God. Think about the story. Here it is, verse 32 down through verse 37. We won't read the passage, but David comes up to the battlefront, sees Goliath come out, and he's mocking the Israel, and he's mocking God, and he makes this great challenge. David goes to King Saul, and he attempts he volunteers. He wants to offer. He wants to go out, and he wants to fight. Saul says, "You can't do it," and then he decides, "Well, I'll give you the stuff that you need." But here's David willing to help out, and nobody takes him serious. And then in verse 38 and verse 39, as we noted, Saul, wanting to help out, tries to give him his armor, tries to give him his sword and all that kind of thing. Because David, he didn't come up with a sword. He didn't come up with any armor or any defense. What did he have? He had a sling with him, because that's what he was. He was a shepherd, and that's what he used for defense. And so Saul tries to help him out. David says, "I can't deal with this. There's no way I can't use this." But we know that David decides to go out, and he confronts Goliath, gets out on the battlefield, they have an exchange of words. We're going to read some of these verses in just a moment, so I don't want to read them two or three times. But David goes out, confronts Goliath, and attacks him. And, of course, you know that David prevails against Goliath with the sling and the stone. The stone hits him in the forehead, falls over. And David is victorious over Goliath. And you can read that in verse 48 through verse 51. David is the giant here. Now, Goliath, he's a big guy. But the real giant is little David in comparison. David is the giant. Let me give you, from looking back into this passage then, and I know I just hurriedly ran through the story, but most of you are familiar with it anyway, but we're going to look at these verses, and I want to give you some indicators. Indicators as to why David was a giant of a person in the eyes of God, and why and how you can be a giant of a person. First of all, I want to submit unto you, and we don't have a biblical explanation in this chapter, but I want you to know that David had a personal relationship with God. You see David's expression throughout the chapter. He has a great confidence, great trust in God, great viewpoint. But we know later on we have scriptural description of David, that David was a man after God's own heart. And that tells me that David had a relationship with God. You will not be big in the eyes of God if you're an enemy of God. You will not be a giant in the eyes of God if you're against Him and disobedient and going your way. You're lost, you're dead, you're in trespasses and sins. You need the Savior. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ first. If you want to become a giant in the eyes of God, the first thing you need to do is be made right with God. You need a right relationship with Him. And that relationship only comes through Jesus Christ. So I say to you that David had a personal relationship with God. That makes him eligible to be a giant in his eyes. Look in verse 34 through verse 37. We see in this passage, as David responds to Saul, and why it is that he can go and fight, you'll notice here that he had an abiding trust in God. And if you want to be a giant in the eyes of God, you must trust him. And your trust in him will be an indicator that you're a giant in God's eyes. Look at verse 34 through verse 37 and see what where David's faith lay. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And he says, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Do you see here an expression of David's faith in God? David had learned by experience that God was watching over him, that God was with him, and he could trust God in all things. I believe that David, even as he did his daily task, the menial shepherd boy out there, that was a good job, but you know what? It's not like going out and fighting wars. But as he did that job, I believe he communed with the Lord, and he developed that relationship with God. And I believe he depended upon God for wisdom and direction as he would be a good shepherd. And we know he was a good shepherd. Well, what happened? You read in the text there where a lion showed up one day, took a lamb out of the flock. He went and rescued the lamb. A bear shows up one day, goes out, takes the and rescues the lamb out of the mouth of the bear. To me, I'd say, sorry about that lamb. Wouldn't you? I mean, a lion showed up, you're out there, what do you have? You have a sling and a stone. And you're watching all these sheep out there, well, that's just one less I have to watch. Because I'm not going after that lion, and I'm not going after that bear, but David didn't have that concept. David was a great man of courage, and David said, I'm going to deliver that sheep, and he did, he delivered the lambs, and he fought against the lion, and he fought against the bear. And he believed that the reason he won was because God gave him the victory. That God was fighting for him. That's great trust, isn't it? And you know what you need to do? You need to see God perform victories in your life. And they may seem small, they may seem mediocre. But as you see God do things in your life, you develop a trust in God and a knowledge that God is able to do all things. And when those big things come, when those Goliaths show up, you know what? You put your trust in God. That makes you a giant of a person. David was a giant of a person because he had a relationship with God and because he had an abiding trust in God. Look back in verse 32. I submit unto you that he had courage to attempt the unthinkable. In verse 32, he was the one that came to Saul. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Can you imagine? I mean, you have all the soldiers at the battlefront, and none of them have the courage. Saul, the biggest guy of them all, as king, he's not going to go out there and take on Goliath. And I'll tell you, my friend, it takes a lot of courage to stand up to go to King Saul and say, listen, I'll go. I'll fight this guy. Now, that's unthinkable as far as human concept is concerned. But David, he didn't care because he knew that God was with him. He had that desire to do what the other people are not able to do. He had great courage, didn't he? And, you know, that makes, in my eyes, an understanding of him that he's a giant in the eyes of God. That he's just a real big fella, even though he's not so big, because he trusts God to accomplish something that other people are not going to be able to do. Do you believe that you can do anything with the power of God and the work of God in your life? You need to be a giant in the eyes of God. Now glance back to verse 26. I want to point out to you that he was also willing to take a stand for God. And that means to me that he was a giant in the eyes of God. He was willing to do something for the Lord. Verse 26 says, David spake to the men that stood by him, and this is after Philistine had come out and made the great challenge. And he said, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For this, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And you know that the Philistine mocks David, puts down God, the God of Israel. The Goliath out there mocking the nation and mocking the soldiers is also a mockery of God. Who is your God? You can't stand against me. Your God can't stand against me. You can't stand against me. Come on, just come fight and we'll settle it right here. And David, he wants to take a stand and do the unthinkable. He wants to take a stand for God. Nobody's going to make fun of our nation. Nobody's going to make fun of our God. David was willing to stand up for the Lord. And I believe that's an indicator that he was a giant in the eyes of God. Now skip down to verse 40. Closer to the story itself, when he goes to fight against him, and as Saul had offered him his armor and his spear and his helmet and all that kind of thing, David turns this down. And I say that he was a giant of a person because he really didn't want the worldly wisdom. He didn't want all that armor. But what he did is he stayed with what he knew worked for him. And so as he turns down Saul's armor, verse 40 it says, he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And you know, the world sometimes will say, well, yeah, you can go do this, or the church will go, well, yeah, you can go do this, but let me tell you how it's going to be done. Well, David knew better. David didn't have any of that when he fought against the lion and when he fought against the bear. And so now he's facing the Philistine, and he tries on the armor because Saul wants him to, and he says, I can't do this. I've not proved these things. I don't use this. This is not my style. And so what David does, he goes with what he knows. So he goes to the brook. He takes his staff. He picks some stones. He puts the stones in his pouch, and he takes his sling, and off he goes to face the Philistine. As you've experienced God and as you've learned and grown through the Scripture and in your Christian walk, you know what, every now and then somebody's going to come up or the world's going to come up and they're going to offer something that is just worldly. Well, do it this way. Do it that way. This is how you build your church. And you know, you got to be very careful about jumping into the world scene. And my dad always said, you can't do the Lord's work the devil's way. And I find that some people are trying to do that in our society. We have to be careful. Do with what you know works. Go with what you know. If you're a shepherd boy and you've killed a lion and a bear and this is how you did it, this is what you need. If you defended the flock with a sling and a stone, that's what you need. You don't need Saul's spear. And that's what David did because he's a giant of a person. Look at verse 43 through verse 44. And so he comes to the battle with what does he have? He doesn't have any armor on. You know, he's just dressed in his shepherd clothes. And he has the stones and he has the sling. But you know what we find, and this is why I say that David is a giant of a person, certainly in the eyes of God and in our eyes, because he was not intimidated by the outward giant. I mean, this guy was huge, right? Verse 43, verse 44, the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. So here's this great big huge of a guy. David comes out and he just, what, are you kidding? This is a joke, isn't it? Who do you think I am? Come on, let's just finish this. Come on. And did that scare David? Did this guy's size scare David? Did all of his armor scare David? Was he afraid at the vicious words of Goliath? Not David. He was not intimidated by the outward giant because he had faith in God. There are a lot of things in life that may be outward giants to us. And I'm telling you, you don't need to be afraid of those things because we have God who sits on the throne. He's in control. And we can trust, we can lean upon Him. We don't need to be intimidated by the outward giants if we're a giant of a person ourselves. David was not scared, and so you'll notice why he wasn't scared. Look at verse 45. This demonstrates again, this indicates why he was a giant of a person, because he relied upon the power of God, not upon swords and spears and shields. Then said David to the Philistine, notice his response, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Where are you going to place your trust? You place your trust in God. You're a giant of a person. David believed in the Lord, trusted in the Lord. He chose the sling and stones. He was trusting the sling and stones. No, he was trusting God all along. But he knew that God would use the sling and the stone. You see? Do you want to be a giant of a person today? You need to trust God, lean upon Him. Don't be intimidated by those outward giants. And you don't have to trust in what the world trusts in. You trust in God. And God is able to deliver. And you'll also notice something that indicates why he was a giant of God. Verse 46, he spoke boldly. for God's cause. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. What's his purpose? What do we see here? He speaks boldly. Here's Goliath out there saying, come on, let's finish it. Let's get it over with. I'll make it easy on you. I'll do as painless as possible. That kind of a thing. And David says, now wait a minute. You are the one that's going to die. I'm going to take your head off. You're going to be fed to the fowls of the air. And what's his purpose? Now David boldly speaks for God. That indicates that he's a giant of a person. But you glance, slide on into verse 47. And you saw it at the end of verse 46, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, but he's a giant of a person also in the eyes of God, because his desire was to glorify God. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And the whole purpose was, this isn't for me, this is for God, so that everybody will know that God is God. You know, when God performed the judgments upon Egypt, one of the things that he did is he used Moses and to bring those plagues upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians, so that all the earth would know that the true God was the God of Israel. That he would know that God is God. And David says, my purpose, I'm speaking for God, and my purpose is to glorify God in everything that I do. And so that was his desire. And you know what? That makes him a giant in the eyes of the Lord. Then you'll notice in verse 48 that he did not shrink away from that opposition, but he went head on. And it came to pass that when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David wasn't hesitant. He didn't stand back. When the battle was going to be engaged, the Philistines coming toward him, he ran right to the guy. Head on. You know why? Because he was a giant in the eyes of God. And then lastly, I want to the indicator that I want to point out to you is in verse 49 through verse 51. And that is, his faith brought him to a place where he was used of God, and he was victorious. And it says in verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So much for the deal of, hey, you kill me, that we'll all surrender. No, they took off running, didn't they? After that, they weren't going to hang around. But can you get this picture in your mind, this exchange? And because David was a giant in the eyes of God, and we won't rehash those 10 points that I have expressed to you, we get down to the end. You know what? God says, I'm going to use you. There's a purpose for my honor and for my glory. I will give you victory. And just as much as you were able, I delivered you out of the mouth of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear, I'm going to deliver you out of this Philistine's hand. And so David went without sword, without spear, but he went with the stones. And God gave him a great victory. I want to share with you a verse out of 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, where here's a response, and here it is. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. You know, God's eyes pervade the whole world, the whole earth. And the scripture says here that he shows himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. David's heart was perfect toward God. David had a desire to serve God, to honor God, to vindicate God's name and the children of Israel. And he went in the name of the Lord for God's honor and for his glory, and had a trust in God that great big huge Goliath did not have. And David prevails over him with a well-placed stone right in the forehead. Knocks the guy out. He falls over. He couldn't kill him. What's he do? He gets the sword, cuts off his head. And David prevails. I've given you 11 indicators that would tell us that David was a giant of a person. all along I tried to apply a little bit to you and me in our daily life, that if we would respond in like fashion, that we too could be a giant of a person. Because you may be here today and you might view yourself as deficient in some area. And maybe you are. But you can be a giant in the eyes of God. You say, well, I don't have size, I don't have strength, I don't have ability, I don't have education, I don't have looks, I don't have personality, I don't have flair, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have ability. You know what? You can be a giant in the eyes of God. You say, well, how can I do that? How you really do that, and if you just think about these things we've discussed, you just simply submit to God. Submit to God, lock, stock, and barrel, and let God use you as He sees fit. That way you can be a giant in the eyes of God. And it doesn't matter what the world thinks. You give yourself to the Lord. You yield up to Him, and you'll be a giant in the eyes of God. But as I close, I want to remind you of the starting point of David. What was that starting point? He had a personal relationship with God. And before you can be a giant in the eyes of God, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you been saved? Are you born again? Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? You'll never be a giant in the eyes of God unless you first have a right relationship with Him. And that relationship comes through Christ. Jesus came nearly 2,000 years ago. He was God made manifest in the flesh. He was crucified as a sinner, though He never sinned. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He's alive right now. He's at the right hand of the Father, and one of these days He's coming back. He's going to rule and reign over this universe. That same Jesus is the Savior of the world. You're a sinner. You need forgiveness of your sin. You need righteousness, and the only righteousness you can ever have is the righteousness of Christ, because you've already messed things up. And so you need Jesus. Would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today, and then say, God, make me a giant? And if you're here and you're saved, ask God to make you a giant in His eyes. You be what God would have you to be. Be submissive. Be yielded. Be surrendered. Be faithful. Be obedient. And you'll be, and trust the Lord. You know what? You'll be a giant in God's eyes. I'd like for us to stand and sing. Let's stand. And I ask you to turn to number 342. But the invitation simply is this, right where you are, if God's spoken to your heart, you're lost, you need help, we'd be glad to help you. We'd be glad to direct you to the things of the Lord and how you can know Christ. But we want you to be saved. And then, as a Christian, we want you to be found faithful. We want you to be a giant in the eyes of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Speak it to our hearts. And I pray that you would overcome any frailty of my speech and any kind of hindrance or distraction. And God, just speak these things to the hearts of all your people, that we would be as you'd have us to be. Grant us the grace that we need to serve you, to be found obedient. And God, make us giants in your eyes. And when the world comes against us and the problems may seem so huge, God, may we rely upon you, for you're the only one that can deliver us. Lord, just cause us to trust you. Meet every need of every heart. We turn this time over to you, and Lord, it's yours, and it's just for your honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.